became, except the contrast is different. So I became attracted to that and looked
through quite a number of secret documents in Moscow. I had, in 1992, unprecedented access to Politburo and Central Committee documents, which classified even now for 30 years. And it just came out very clearly that the whole idea of turning common market into a federal state was agreed between the left-wing parties of Europe and Moscow as a joint project, which Gorbachev called in 1988-89 our common European home. Many of you may remember that. And the idea was very simple. I mean, it first came up in 1985-86 when the Italian communists visited him and then German social democrats, and they all complained that the changes in the world today, particularly after Thatcher introduced privatization and the rest of it, is threatening to wipe out the socialists and social democrats and all, everything they achieved, as they call it, to reverse it completely. And therefore, the only way to withstand this onslaught of, as they call it, wild capitalism, is to try to introduce the same thing in all countries at once. Prior to that, the left-wing parties and the Soviet Union were very much against European integration because they perceived it as a kind of a block against them. Starting with 85 and onwards, they completely changed the view. They came to a conclusion and to agreement with the left-wing parties that if they worked together, they would manage to hijack the whole European project and turn it upside down. Instead of open market, make it into a federal state. That is the turning point, 85-86, according to the documents. I've published most of these documents now, so you might find it even on the internet, but the conversations they had are really eye-opening. It's you just for the first time understand that it is a conspiracy. Quite understandable for them. They're saving their own political hides. In the East, they needed a change of relations with Europe because they were entering protracted and very deep structural crisis. In the West, the left-wing parties also were afraid of being wiped out and losing their influence and prestige. So it was a conspiracy, quite openly made by them, agreed upon, and worked out. For example, let me give you an example which would puzzle you. In 1989, in January of 1989, a delegation of Trilateral Commission came to see Gorbachev. It included Nakasone, Giscard d'Estaing, Rockefeller, someone else, Kissinger. And a very nice conversation where they tried to explain to Gorbachev that Soviet Russia has to integrate into the financial institutions of the world, such as GATT, such as IMF, World Bank. In the middle of it, Giscard d'Estaing suddenly takes the floor and says, Mr. President, I can't tell you exactly when it will happen, probably in 15 years, but Europe is going to be a federal state, and you have to prepare yourself for that, to work out with us and with European leaders how you would react to that, how would you allow the other East European countries to interact with it or become a part of it. You have to be prepared. Now, 1989, January, by that time, even the Maastricht Treaty was not drafted yet. How the hell Giscard d'Estaing knew what is going to happen in 15 years? And surprise, surprise, how come that he became the author of European Constitution? Very good question. I mean, it does smell conspiracy, doesn't it? Luckily for us, the Soviet part of it collapsed earlier, and it didn't come to a point when they could have. But the idea was to have what they call convergency. When the Soviet Union would mellow, some would become more social democratic, Europe becomes social democratic and socialist, and then there will be convergence. The structures have to fit each other, therefore the structures of European Union were initially built with the purpose of fitting into Soviet structure. This is why they are so similar in functioning and in structure. It was designed. It was not by accident that European Parliament, for example, makes impression on me as if it's a Soviet, Supreme Soviet. It looks like Supreme Soviet. When you look at the Commission, it looks like Politburo. I mean, exactly. Except it's 25 members, and they usually have 13 or 15 members of Politburo. But they're exactly the same. Unaccountable to anyone, electing each other, not directly elected by anyone at all. So it's the same thing. When you look into all this bizarre activity of European Union, these 80,000 pages of regulations, it looked like Gosplan. We used to have an organization which was planning everything in economy to the last nut and bolt and for 5 years in advance. So that exactly the same thing is happening here. When you look at the type of corruption, it's exactly Soviet type corruption, going from top to bottom rather than going from bottom to top. So that's type corruption of a Soviet system. And you go through all the structures, all the features of this emerging European monster, and it more and more resembles Soviet Union. Of course, it's a milder version of the Soviet Union. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that it has no Gulag, it has no KGB, not yet. But I'm very carefully watching such structures as Europol, for example. And that really concerns me a lot, because this organization would have power probably even bigger than KGB. They would have diplomatic immunity. Can you imagine a KGB with diplomatic immunity? That's even more frightening than it is. And they would have to police us on 32 counts of crimes, two of which are particularly worrying. One is called racism, another is called xenophobia. And no criminal code on earth defines anything like that as a crime. So it's a new crime. And we already warned, someone of the British government told us, that those who object to uncontrolled immigration from the third world will be regarded as racist, and those who oppose to further European integration will be regarded as xenophobes. I think Patricia Hewitt said that on record publicly. So we are now warned. Meanwhile, they introduced more and more ideologies. Soviet Union used to be a state run by ideology. Today's ideology of European Union is a social democratic, statist, and also a big part of it is political correctness. I watch very carefully how political correctness spreads and becomes oppressive ideology. Not to mention the fact that they forbid smoking almost everywhere now. Look at all this persecution of people who... Swedish pastor who said that the Bible doesn't approve homosexuality got imprisoned for several months, and then France passes the same law of hate speech concerning gays. Britain is passing hate speech laws concerning race relations and now religious speech, and so on and so forth. What you observe, taken in perspective, is the systematic introduction of ideology which could be enforced later with repressive measures. And apparently that's the whole purpose of Europol, because otherwise why do we need it? So that looks for me very suspicious. And I watch very carefully who is persecuted for what and what's happening out of it, because that is one field in which I am an expert. I know how gulags spring up. Now, it looks like we are living in a period of very rapid and very systematic, very consistent dismantlement of democracy. Look at this emergency, how it's called, emergency act?
Civil legislation, civil contingencies act.
Yeah, contingencies, right. I mean, my immediate question, why do we need it? Britain survived, what, two world wars, war with Napoleon, Spanish Armada, not to mention Cold War, when we were told that any moment we might have a world war, a nuclear world war, without any need to introduce this kind of legislation, without the need for suspending our civil liberties, introducing emergency powers. Why do we need it right now? There is no explanation to that. Now, recently they are pushing a bill through Parliament about this regulatory reform. This will suddenly make ministers legislators, who would be, without informing Parliament or bothering to tell anyone, introduce new laws. No, that can make a dictatorship out of your country in no time. And it seems to me that no one is taking any notice of it. People seem to be so passive. My only hope is that now, since the smoking in pubs will be forbidden, so the young people who sit in pubs all the evenings and doing nothing else might become offended and join our ranks. But that's the only good news so far. In general, when I go up and down the country and speak to some groups, it's all mostly middle-aged groups. There's hardly young face in the audience. And that's frightening, because middle-aged groups can make some obstructions, can make some protests, but they don't make revolutions. We are too old for that already. Our entire hope is that the younger generation join the fray and start doing something. Then we will have some hope. In reality, today's situation is really grim. Major political parties became completely taken in by this project. None of them really opposes it. And above all, most of them became very corrupt. Conservatives practically disappeared. I mean, they look like an endangered species now. So I don't really expect much from their side. Who's going to defend our freedoms? Who's going to do anything? It looks that we are heading to some kind of a collapse, some kind of a crisis. Most likely outcome, if there is no change in people's attitude, most likely outcome will be an economic collapse in Europe, which in due time will happen with growth of expenses, growth of taxes, what they call harmonization of taxes and social services. I love the word. It's straight from Orwell. For example, tell me, if in Sweden they pay 90% and we pay 40%, what will harmonization mean for Britain? Multiple choice. If the tax remains the same, is it goes up or is it go down? Very simple question. And of course, in due time, all this inability of them to create a competitive environment, overregulation of economy, bureaucratization of all this, it will bring to economic collapse. Particularly the introduction of euro, which anyone in financial business will tell you is a crazy idea. Currency is not supposed to be political. Currency is supposed to be currency. And if you have the interest rates established for all 25 countries in one place, then no one would be satisfied with this interest rate. It would be something average. So we lose the regulation of the financial side of it as well as the business side. So the ultimate result, and I have no doubt about it, will be a collapse of the European Union, pretty much like Soviet Union collapsed. But don't forget, when these things collapse, they leave such a devastation after themselves that it takes a generation to clear it. Just think what will happen if it all comes to economic crisis. The recrimination between nations will be huge. It might come to blows. Look at the huge number of some third world countries' residents now living in Europe. What will happen with that now? And that was promoted by European Union. What will have? We probably will have, like in the Soviet Union at the end, we had so much of ethnic strife that mind boggles. No other country could show it, except probably Yugoslavia. So that's exactly what will happen. We have to be prepared for that. This huge edifice of bureaucracy and so on is going to collapse on our head. Because of that, I'm desperately trying to explain to everyone, the sooner we will finish them, the better. The less damage it will be done for us, for our countries, for our future. But we have to be quick, because they are moving very fast. Very fast. Is it difficult to defeat them? As today, in today's world, no. It's simple. If 1 million people will march on Brussels, these guys will run away to Bahamas. They are not used to this kind of thing. If tomorrow half of British population refuses to pay taxes, nothing will happen. No one will go to jail. Today you can do that. What will be tomorrow with fully fledged Europol, staffed by former Stasi officers or whatever, or security. I don't know. Anything may happen. We are losing time. We have to defeat them. It's not enough just to be critical. We have to sit and think and work out strategy in the shortest possible way to achieve maximum effect. Otherwise, it will be too late. So, what should I say? My conclusion is not optimistic. So far, despite the fact that we do have some IGU forces in almost every country, it's not enough. We are still losing, and we are wasting time. Thank you.